persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Q, sometimes QAnon, is breaking into the collective consciousness of the kingdom of man. Held by some to be an oracle for predicting future events and by others to be a gathering place for fools. So what does the brain masseur make of it? The Trump persona factor. Is hatred for Trump about his personality? And why that's a major miss. The GameStop phenom. I'm sure I won't get to this today with all the content I have about the Q thing. So I'll sum it up. To me, it looks like establishment types don't like regular guys getting in on their game and disrupting their playground or playing on their playground. For example, hedge funders disrupted to the tune of $70 billion. That brought their attention to the Reddit raid. Soros does not like competition. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Q, sometimes called QAnon, is breaking into the collective consciousness of the kingdom of man, held by some to be an oracle for predicting future events via cryptic messages, dark sayings, parables, secret codes decipherable by, the white hat patriots involved in a counter-conspiracy to save the world from the Nimrods, and that would be the God-defying one-worlders, and then by others. QAnon is a gathering place for fools. A modern Mars Hill, where babblers babble and tell tall tales, spun into webs as thick as Shelob's lair, and where some, looking into this conspiracy funhouse mirror, see the golems conducting a deep state disinformation operation, leading the unsuspecting patriot Frodos into a trap, where the demon Shelob stings them with the venomous poison of deceit, so they might dull their senses, not enough to kill them, but to keep them docile and fresh, voters, so they can continue stealing from them the ring of power. So what does the brain masseur make of all of this? First off, it's Q, not properly speaking QAnon. It's just Q. The Anon, or for anonymous, simply refers to the fact that, well, either one Q is anonymous, and or, as I've noticed, perhaps it's because many of Q's patriot team members post as anonymous, followed by an ID number. Q is reputedly a mysterious former or acting intelligence officer, but this is never directly stated, at least so far as I can find. I mean, there are like almost 5,000 of these posts, and I haven't looked at all of them. Some suspected of being Q are General Flynn, President Trump, and some others, but nothing's offered to substantiate that claim. Having perused a few hundred posts, at least, and listened to some who treat Q like an oracle, and having read what the detractors have to say, people, with the liberal bona fides of, The Atlantic, for example, it seems to me Q is someone who believes in the conspiratorial view of history, something I'll talk about later, and is convinced of an international cabal of super powerful elites intent on taking over the world and imposing their will on humanity, making decisions like, how many people should be alive at any given time on the planet, Bill Gates, and who should hold power in the world under their control, the Dominion machine and so forth, used to get the Dominion, a universal socialist dictatorship in which the entire world is under their direct control. And by there, I mean that few super rich banking cabal, those families like, Rothschild, Bilderbergers, Rockefellers, and so on. It involves some things you have heard of, like the Illuminati and all that, and key players involved the Vatican, the City of London, and, Washington, D.C. And it includes plots like Beijing worming its way in to take Washington, D.C.'s place as among the cities that run the world. And it involves complex and secret machinations that have the elite cabal playing each state against the other, to further their ultimate purpose, already stated, to rule the world and control all of its resources, something called the Dominion, and all of its military power of force, something called the Sword. And it sees, as acting behind all of this, the sinister forces of evil, Satan himself, presiding over the powers, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. It appears to me that this fellow, as we all assume it's a fellow and not a fella, Q, watches carefully geopolitical events, particularly in as it touches the United States, and interprets these events within his worldview paradigm of a conspiracy to take America down and fold it into the globalist order under the control of the banking cabal. As to his so-called failed prophecies, the most famous of which is that Hillary was supposed to be arrested on October 30th, 2017, and his alleged dodge, when he said, following up, that this plan failed and that she was detained but not arrested, and the more recent theory that she's cooling her heels at Gitmo, waiting for the rest of her ne'er-do-wells to join her. I'm not sure I didn't come up with that one. I can't remember right now. I'm not an apologist for Q, let me tell you. But I will admit, I have wondered where Hillary is of late. When was the last time we heard from Hillary? I mean, directly. I confess I don't follow MSM closely, but, I mean, usually by now we would have not been able to avoid her eerie cackle, about Trump losing or opining on what should be done about him right now. And I'm just saying. As an honest observer, while I must say I don't have any confidence at all in what the liberals say about Q, and I must admit I can only accept some of what American-loving patriots say about him or her, but with what information I do have available to me right now, I would say he is an astute observer of American politics who interprets events as he sees them, contributing toward his expectation that patriots are working in the background to deliver America from the clutches of the deep state central bank globalist conspiracy that aims to enslave the world. Among the more enigmatical entries in Q alerts of late have referred to 11-3 and 11-4 as what he indicates are markers that trigger certain actions against these traitorous politicians in America who are working for the cabal, that are using China right now to bring America into a global fold. Well, it just so happens that these seemingly cryptic references actually refer to a legal document published by the Department of Defense called the Law of War Manual, which lays out the law of war for American military. I have the latest update of that document from the General Counsel of the Department of Defense, Pentagon, June 12, 2015, signed by then Acting General Counsel Stephen Preston. Chapter 11 of this document, the Law of War Manual, deals with the law of occupation. 11.3 describes belligerent occupation as occurring, in fact, when a hostile force occupies enemy territory and takes temporary control of its government functions. Section 11.4 describes when and by what means such an occupation has come to an end. While this is obviously written with a view toward what rules govern our troops when occupying territory taken under control in the conduct of a war, such as when we took Iraq, the fact is the law is applicable, and it's written in a way that it is applicable to any case where the circumstances described here meet the descriptions. And in other words, it is applicable to any case where a hostile force has taken occupation of what by that force is deemed an enemy territory and holds it, whether or not the occupation is legal or justified. Something, by the way, that is stipulated in the document. 11.4, on the other hand, provides for the termination of a belligerent occupation by friendly forces overcoming the occupying forces. I mean, among other ways that a belligerent occupation might be terminated is this: friendlies retake the territory. Q's reference to 11.3 and 11.4 are markers intended to trigger when we should see a belligerent occupation of Washington, D.C., and in that case, by foreign powers interfering in our elections and placing a puppet regime into the administration of American government. or putting a fake president in the Oval Office. This was to be understood as a marker, alerting us that certain expected actions would then follow. Those expected actions include the military intervention of our armed forces, bringing to justice the traitors and criminals who are occupying our nation's capital under the power and illegal authority of China, together with any other nations involved in this usurpation of our Constitution through interference in our election. The lack of any such actions materializing has created some stir and some confusion among the Q crowd, or the Q-minity. Q himself has been in blackout for more than 50 days, I understand. But the hopeful continue to wait for the second marker, which will be release of the incriminating information to the general public, followed by the arrests and subsequent trials of the perpetrators of this treason, which will then result in the return of America to her roots, the old pool, Isaiah 22, get my message, what is God waiting for, and reestablishment of America as one nation under God. Now, it just so happens that I have also been expecting and looking for the same thing. Trust me on this, even before I began learning anything about Q or looking into it. I had hoped our state legislatures would have taken to themselves their constitutional authority and declared the electors illegally chosen by those states to be called back to their respective states, along with firm instruction from the legislatures of those states to the Congress, not asking but telling them, you can't count those electors. They were illegally appointed. They failed. They equivocated him hard and asked, and they played around with it. I expected and hoped that our courts would step in and do what is right and provide an open and transparent hearing of the allegations of fraud before the eyes of the public so as to put to rest, if for no other reason, any questions 74 million Americans might have about election fraud. But they failed. I expected the secretaries of state and the governors of said states to have been willing to see the wisdom of allowing full and unfettered access to the voting machines and ballots to conduct a free and open and transparent forensic investigation, as was proposed on several occasions, and as ordered by at least one court. But what we ended up with is obfuscation, obstruction, delays, open efforts to block investigators from conducting their investigations. So you see, they failed. I expected perhaps Pence would have invoked his much-touted concern for the integrity of the Constitution and would then stand in defense of the Constitution by agreeing with the legislative bodies that officially requested for him to delay certification of the electoral votes that were in question because they needed time to complete their investigation. But alas, Pence was more concerned, I think, about posturing like he was defending the Constitution than he was concerned about actually doing what he should have done to protect the Constitution and its election process in this country. And so he failed. Then I looked to the last standing person with official capacity to act in defense of the Constitution in terms of a politician, and that would be the president. Only for him, it would have required extraordinary measures involving the Insurrection Act and martial law. And then he flew away to Mar-a-Lago. And I thought he decided not to go that route, but then I got to looking a bit closer. And I'll offer to you my own take on this that is premised upon my own research. So hold on to the break, and I'll get to it when I get back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
As everybody knows, my family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people. They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation. They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead of our great country. Weeks ago and again yesterday, courageous Republican politicians and leaders had the wisdom, fortitude, and strength to do what everyone knows was right. I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that that's not so. So many people have been hurt. We can't let that go on.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur in Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. And anybody that would steal from us our liberties. Is there any real hope that patriots will reclaim the government from the hands of these usurpers and reestablish the power to the people, as Trump promised would happen? Well, I've said many times that our trust is not, ultimately, in men or in the machinations of clever men to work out a complicated plan to restore to us our liberties. We trust in the Lord. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. We understand, however, that Jesus does work through men. I mean, we are laborers together with God, His own people. He promised that when the enemy comes in like a flood, well, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against him, Isaiah 59:19. And we know that the Spirit of the Lord dwells today in the believer's heart. And so, is it not reasonable to expect He will act through the believer to raise up that standard? I believe that, as a matter of fact, it's down to God-fearing patriots with official capacity to act in fulfilling their oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I believe the last standing institution with official capacity to act in this regard is our military. So let's look at this. Let me explain my own basis for believing there is a patriot plan to defend us from being taken over by China through CCP or the Communist Chinese Party operatives placed in power.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
And so on. Indeed, as I pointed out before, the fake news supported a fake election, putting into office a fake president. And this was done with the assistance and the support of the controlling members of Congress and the highest levels of our courts. We furthermore know that the establishment deep state operatives of the Chinese Communist Party in this country attempted to conduct a coup against our president, which is an act of treason. We further know that there is such corruption in our government as to warrant indictments and prosecution of, well, literally hundreds of persons holding office in this country that are holding that office contrary to the 14th Amendment. We are assured this evidence of foreign interference in our election with the assistance of massive numbers of United States office holders in this country will be forthcoming. And the massive involvement of our government officials with Epstein's pedophilia activities, we trust also will come out. And all this will be exposed, and all these crimes beg for justice. You probably heard about the evidence trickling out already, proving that Obama, Hillary, Brennan, the rest of them, Comey, all of them, knew the Russia collusion scam was a hoax from the beginning, and they used it anyway illegally, in violation of law, as an act of treason, to obtain warrants to spy on a citizen who is running for political office in this country, an opponent of the DNC and the Judas Republicans. They knew and went forward with their phony impeachment and character assassination anyway, which makes all of that acts of treason, because they are evil and wicked people. You probably also heard the drip, drip, drip of information about the politicians in America who are implicated in Epstein's pedophilia ring and his activities. The list of American household names who visited this island includes the Clintons, and I think Dershowitz is implicated, and every household name that you can think of is more than likely implicated in this. ABC's Amy Robach, is that how you pronounce it? Co-anchor for 2020 and who fills in for Good Morning America from time to time. She was filmed complaining that she had the Epstein story and it included the goods on Clinton's involvement 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And she was fuming that now it's all coming out like it's some kind of newly breaking story when she had it 3 years ago. Why didn't she reveal it? Her bosses would not let her go with the story. The storm is coming. The clouds are forming, my friend, and the hurricane circling into a cyclone. Let me break it down for you. First, in 2013, the Pentagon gave notice of its right to intervene in times of national emergency independently of any authorization from the commander-in-chief when such authorization is impossible to obtain. And I've already talked to you before several times how impossible it is to envision such a scenario, but we're living in one right now. That was May 2013, and it stirred a bit of controversy back then, with liberals afraid the military was about to oust Obama. Then in 2015, the Pentagon issued a revised version of the Law of War manual, and I mentioned the provisions it makes for military action in an assumed condition of martial law when a belligerent occupying force holds territory and has temporarily usurped government control. In such an emergency, the friendly military, or militia, by the way, that's stated in the document, can break the belligerent occupation and restore the government to sovereign power. The original government, under civil control, once the occupation forces have been defeated. Well, then we have Trump, who comes along, he gets elected. And then it all breaks loose, man. Obama, Hillary, and company, they turn what was a smear campaign in an election cycle, they turn it into a campaign to oust the sitting president of the United States. An internal coup that involved the leadership of CIA, FBI, DOJ, and some members of the DOD, which is an act of treason in violation of their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. In December 20, 2017, Trump signed an executive order, and I'll discuss this order more tonight or tomorrow, my live stream visit. And this particular executive order is titled Blocking the Property of Persons Involved in Serious Human Rights Abuses and Corruption. There are some really interesting elements of this executive order applicable to our situation right now, but not limited to that. And one of them is this. This executive order declares a national emergency in force. This executive order provides for the prosecution and the confiscation of all financial properties or assets of any person involved in human rights abuse or corruption or connected in some way to those who are. Specifically, he names anyone who is or who has ever been involved in that, who is or who has ever been in government office and involved in corruption. Oh, yeah. Is or ever has been. This executive order has teeth, baby. Then in September 12, 2018, Trump signs another executive order that reaffirms our emergency status and lays out serious financial repercussion against any foreign power that interferes in our election and against any citizen who is implicated as assisting or abetting the same. And this one, like the other one, it really has teeth. Furthermore, these executive orders provide for the action to be set in motion. In other words, the actions of these orders were already triggered. They began execution. Only a genuinely and legally installed president can change the executive order. You know, unlike Biden's EOs that have no authority and are meaningless. Then you have the execution of the order in November of 2020 before Trump left office. And that actually activated the military. And then the disclosure order given likewise in November of 2020, where he declassified all those documents, did that just before he left, the day I think he left office or the day before. And there is, legally speaking, you understand, nothing that Biden, his phony administration, can do to stop what's coming. So as it stands right now, the military is authorized to step in and take out the belligerent occupying force that was installed by China through his proxy, Biden and company, to initiate the emergency protocols already put in place and activated. They could go forward to arrest the traitors, put them on trial, and restore our republic. And that's what is in place. Friend, that's not a conspiracy theory. The legal basis for all I've outlined is in place. It's just a question of whether they will act on it. And I hope they do. I pray for justice. I pray for judgment to move forward to restore justice in our land. Please get and listen to my three messages, Sunday a.m., p.m., and then Wednesday night. The a.m. message, what is God waiting for? The p.m. message, comforting God. The Wednesday message, the two swords. You really need to get them and listen to them. Be careful about being brainwashed into a knee-jerk reaction to anything like this as, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. First, my friend, Every scientific finding has started with a theory. There's nothing wrong with something being a theory. Are you aware, I'm sure, that conspiracies are a real issue in American jurisprudence? In our laws, we have provisions against conspiracies. Because conspiracies are contrived by men and used to commit all manner of fraud and illegal activity. So the word conspiracy does not automatically mean something fanciful or ridiculous. You've been programmed to think that way. Second, you are aware that there are two fundamental views of history. One is called the accidental view of history, and it says things happen just as a quirk of accident, you know. The other is referred to as the conspiratorial view of history. This view says there are operators behind the scenes concocting schemes whereby they might advance their agendas, and that sometimes these agendas are nefarious and have history-making implications. MacArthur believed that communist Russia was engaged in a conspiracy to overtake America and turn America communist. I mean, they said as much. He was mocked, he was maligned, and ridiculed as a conspiracy theorist. After the Iron Curtain fell, it all came out, and MacArthur was vindicated. He was proved right. So, here's the thing. You who know what the Bible says about future events and how they'll develop, you can see how easily all of this fits into the paradigm of biblical prophecy. Look, we know Satan desires to bring all the kingdoms of the earth back under his control, Matthew 4, Luke 4, and has been working feverishly in this world as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, to restore Satan's preeminence in the earth after he lost it when Christ broke his power on the cross. This effort has been ongoing since Jesus broke his global control and by his resurrection was declared to be the Son of God with power, all authority in heaven and in earth. Well, Satan has always worked to bring the earth under his complete power and to appoint a man over it through whom he would rule it. And we know he desires to use this power to destroy humanity off the planet. And so, how easy is it to believe the reports we hear about these super rich who are so far beyond any interest in money by now that their actual interest is in how much power and control they can gain over the world's resources, including the resource called man and manpower? The ultimate power is control over mankind. This gives them that rush, you know, heroin addicts get from their drug. This is the drug of the super rich, control over human life. But there is a power in the earth that interferes with their efforts. It's the mystery of Christ who opposes this mystery of iniquity. One thing has to happen before justice will call on judgment to turn around and move in with God's sword of vengeance to execute wrath upon the evildoers, and that is the truth must be put back on the pillar and ground that Jesus set forth in the earth, and that is the church. Hear my message, two swords. That's not going to happen until the church humbles herself. Listen to my messages Sunday a.m. and p.m. last week, please, and forward them to every Christian, biblical Christian, that you know, and encourage them to do the same. Well, I don't have time to discuss the Trump persona theory. Maybe I'll pick that up from the cutting room floor for tonight in our visit, Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress, unless I decide, and it's very possible I will, that I'll need to spend my evening with the Dove before I begin my trip tomorrow to Bend, Oregon, and in such case, I'll get with you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Friend, I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know. You see they're on 1-805-314-2114 or go to our website, GodsWar2020.com, and connect with us there. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.